Blog Talk Radio.
Only on Phone Fantasy Radio.
Tell me what you want. Is that what you want?
You are listening to the Honey Suite on Phone Fantasy Radio.
Tell me what you want. You like that, baby?
It's thickly packed and full of flavor.
Listeners, call in 805-830-8320.
This is your hostess, La Crush Heart.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Honey Suite. I am your hostess, La Crush Heart. And we are here on time, which is very awesome for me. We got a nice little lineup for you tonight, you know, nice little conversation. Please, by all means, join the conversation. Call us up at 805-830-8320. That's 805-830-8320. Press that 1 and join the conversation. Talk to me. Let me know what your thoughts are. Tonight we're talking about the New York Police Department Stop and Frisk program, which was deemed unconstitutional by a judge over the summer. Actually, this is one of the top stories that happened over the summer. It was unconstitutional. And the judge did not do away with the program altogether. What he did was he assigned someone to basically audit and oversee the program. And we're going to look in there. I'm losing my train of thought here. There was a report done by the, basically looked deeper into the program of Stop and Frisk. Now, the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, and the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, went on a political rampage once this decision dropped. They filed for an appeal. They went on every political news station you could think of to say that this was a bad ruling, it was unfair, and so much more. But once again, my concern was the judge did not say to stop the program. He just said he was sending somebody of a neutral persuasion to go in there and oversee the program. So I don't understand why they were so go home against criticizing this program. They went hard. New York City, Meet the Press, CNN, Fox News, NBC. You think about it, they jumped on the bandwagon. Anybody that would listen, they went on a political rampage when this story first dropped. And they said that this is basically no bueno, what y'all doing is wrong. And the judge is like, okay, well, let's look at the numbers. And we're going to talk, you know, more about that. By all means, call in 805-830-8320. I got some stuff I want to talk about as far as the stop and frisk laws. Also, we're going to be talking about some politics. My question on politics tonight is, should the old generation of politics step down, step aside, and make way for a new generation of politicians? So that's the question that's going to be ending in tonight, and that's just a brief summary of what it is we're going to be getting into tonight. So by all means, let me take this quick break and come back, and let's start this conversation off the right way.
He is my king, he is my woman. Yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son. I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through and everything I am. He's my support system, I can't live without him. The best thing since sliced bread is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch. And I just want the whole world to know about my black brother. I love you and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true, 'cause you're my black. misunderstood. Yeah. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. Well, for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it, you got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, your talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. Oh, my black brother,
Welcome back. Quick little break right there. Now we're back and I'm ready and I'm focused and I'm just, I don't know, I'm not even appalled by the situation, but it is something that affects my community and affects my people. And I thought that this would be a perfect forum to go ahead and get, you know, your opinions on it and get, you know, cracking on this situation. The New York Police Department was found by a Manhattan federal judge over the summer. Excuse me. Over the summer, that the practice of stop and frisk, meaning the NYPD was able to approach individual if they suspected or of that person of holding, concealing a weapon or having drugs on them and such, and they were able to frisk them. Now, the only problem with this practice is that the NYPD basically abused it. In many cases, more African American Latinos was being stopped and frisked. They really went in depth, and they had a few people in court saying that it was racial profiling, and the judge agreed. She said that was indirect racial profiling. She said unconstitutional, unlawful search. She was like, you know, let's reform this practice. But basically, that's what she said. When that verdict came out, our mayor Michael Bloomberg, and the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, went on a tirade. They went on a tirade. They was on everything. You know, Michael Bloomberg, he has his own channel. He has his own radio show. He said, what does she know? He was like, he was just straight. And it was like they wasn't just upset and they came out and they voiced their opinions on it and fought back with it. No, they were really mad. Like they were, you could see it in their gestures, their facial expressions, the tone of their voice. They were really upset. So now this gets me to thinking, is there more to the situation? Was there more to that stop and frisk policy that they had going on at NYPD? That's what got us thinking. What is it that y'all are trying to defend so much? She never said to stop it. She didn't say you had to stop it. They just want to reform it, meaning they just want to go in there and they want to make it just for everybody, not just one person, not just one race, but for everybody. Use fair judgment. And you have to do that. Like, they, I don't know. Basically, by all means, call it. Let me know, what do you think? Have you ever been a victim of stop and frisk? Share your story with us. Call in 805-830-8320. Press 1 to speak with us live. And right now I'm going to go to the lines because I have a good friend from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Wait, is it Baton Rouge? Yeah,
it's Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge.
Am I getting old? I'm forgetting stuff. Oh, man. Is that part of old age? What's going on, Lady C?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. We got Russ from across the pond in the chat room right now. Hey, Russ.
Hi, Russ.
That's great. He's been doing good. He's doing good. So, you know, this is what we're talking about out here tonight, is a stop and frisk. I know you heard about it on the news. Yes, Lady C?
Yeah.
Right. So this practice.
My thing is, if you don't have, you look at who the majority is. Okay, she said, if she didn't say stop it, then what she's trying to say, it should be more than just looking at their color and what they
mm-hmm.
have on.
Mm-hmm.
Got to
mm-hmm.
have more mm-hmm. than that, because, see, a good-dressed person could be concealing something.
Oh, yes. And we know that. We know that for sure. We definitely know that for sure. Okay,
right.
So last year, a report was done where they actually, you know, did surveys and they actually looked deeper into stop and frisk. And they're saying, and it's proven with the numbers, like, this is what y'all are telling us to fall back on, Bloomberg and Ray Kelly. They were telling us, look at the numbers. So, okay, let's look at the numbers for a second. Let's look into this. When you look at the numbers of excuse me, let's say in general, New York City, population is broken down into blacks, whites, Asians, Native Americans, and Latinos. Yes? Excuse me.
Right.
Now, let's look at how the New York City police stop and frisk. The blacks, African Americans, if you will, is like 24% of the population since 2010. This is 2010. When we did the stop and frisk the following year, 53% of that 24% was basically stopped and frisked. 53%. Now, if you look at the, and we get to Latinos, they're 30% of the population. And 33%, or over 33%, was stopped and frisked as far as Latinos are concerned. Now, you're talking about the whites, the Asians, Native Americans, they say they make up roughly 48% of the population. And that's broken down to 13%. Now, there's a big gap in there. Big, huge gap in there. You're telling me that over half of African Americans was stopped and frisked from this practice.
Right.
Yeah, but these are the numbers that y'all are telling us to look at. These are the numbers that y'all swearing on. More young black men were stopped by the NYPD than young black men in New York City alone.
Wow.
They're saying 25%, over 25% was stopped. And it's only like 2%. So if you're doing over 25%, like, these are the numbers that y'all telling us to look at, NYPD. And somebody actually did do that in a area in now Ray Kelly's defense. Ray Kelly's defense was, according to the census, a survey. Basically, this is how they came up with this. According to the national survey, it's not basically on color, but it's based on the neighborhoods. Well, it's 2013, and I can say in my neighborhood, there's a slew of different races migrating to my neighborhood. It's no longer just the ghetto black man or the ghetto black woman. No, it's no longer the ghetto. We have more and more whites, Latinos, Asians coming into my neighborhood. And this is over the last 2 years. So if that was the case, if you go on by those statistics, don't you think, Ray Kelly's my question to him, don't you think we should reform this situation? We should look deeper into this. You should be concerned if you're talking about safety. You know, Michael Bloomberg was saying, you know, the crime rate is down, murder is down. And, okay, thank you. You know, we appreciate that. But you can't use the same practices when it was high for when it was low, right? So don't you have to go in there and tweak it just a little bit? That's just my situation. Don't you have to go in there and tweak it just a little bit? Just to, you know, just to go in there and make sure that it's working? Because now that you're weeding out the murderers and the drug and all that, now that you're weeding that stuff out, then those people that are left, they're not in that life. So they don't, you know, those harsh practices don't even fit that criteria anymore, yes? I don't know. What you think, Lady C?
I think you're right. I mean, they need to reevaluate what's going on. You know, it's a different place. If you, like you said, if they've gotten it better, so just because you live where it used to be, you're going to be subject to everything that everybody else is under?
Right.
You know, but then, okay, if that's the case also, then it should be equally across the border. It shouldn't just be because of your color.
Right. So, but the offense is, it's not about color. It's about the neighborhood. The way they put policing was, there was a strong presence of police in a certain area, and that area just happened, quote unquote, just happened to be populated by that race. That's what they're trying to say. That's what Ray Kelly is. That was his defense. It just happened to be. So it's not really about racial profiling, but I was like, that is racial profiling. Because now, if you go into it just a little bit deeper, it's not just about stopping and frisking. It's also about the use of brute force as well. That was the situation as well. Y'all use brute force 20 times more than you would with a white person that you stopped and frisked. You know, as African Americans, you know, people were afraid to come and see you because they heard there's cops around. You come out, and this is not just any random thing. Like, yeah, you're coming out your house. As a black man, I've known my friends who left their house and the cops rolled up. The cops rolled up. Now, I had the cops roll through me twice. And it wasn't no frisk, but they did stop me because I was using a payphone. I was with my homegirl. We was using a payphone, and the cops rolled up on the sidewalk. I'm jumping out my skin now. I'll let y'all know I jumped out my skin. I don't do force. Don't do that to me. Don't roll up on me like that. They rolled up on the siren. They woke up on the sidewalk, blazing, jumping out the car, four deep. Like, even if I was to do something, how y'all four deep in a car like that? At the end of the day, he was just trying to holler, you know, asking for numbers and stuff like that. I'm like, let's go. I'm like, you have no reason to stop. You have no reason to speak to me. I don't have to say nothing to you. Let's go. I'm out. I'm rolling. I'm deep. I'm gone. Not that I was guilty or nothing like that, but I just don't want to be in that situation. That is an uncomfortable situation. That happened to me twice.
Yeah.
I told y'all before, I was coming out the supermarket. Now, mind you, I walked by this car. This car, it rolled up next to the sidewalk, and you know how it goes real slow as you're walking? So it goes real slow walking, and I'm not paying no mind. I look in there, I see a woman police officer, and I had some thought about her. It wasn't even important. I just quick thought about her, and I just went on about my business, went into the supermarket, got what I was going to get. Mind you, I'm looking horrible, folks. I wasn't even trying. I was just going to get something to finish my dinner. That's how I was just going to get something. So I'm looking a hot mess. I got the scarf on. I got the pajama pants on. I'm ashy. I'm doing all that. So... I'm walking, and I come out, and I'm walking by the building. Mind you, I'm in my own little world. This lady hops out the car, her and her partner, and she rolls up. Excuse me. We're like, wait, what? You... And a little lady, too, because I remember saying, I could take her. And, like, she was a little slim thing, and I said, I could take her. That was my quick thought. And she was like, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I looked at her like, who are you talking to? I looked around like, you talking to me? Supposedly, I looked at like a report they had of somebody who robbed the corner store. The corner store I just passed. Somebody robbed the corner store last night, and I looked like that person. Now, this is what they told me, right? Now, when she came over, she said, stop. Do you have any ID on you? This is the one time I leave my purse in the house, folks. The one time I leave my purse in the house, all I had was my debit card and some cash on me. That really, I just grabbed that and ran to the store. Like, that's really what's happening. So I'm like, no, but I live down a block and around the corner. If you want to come, I can have somebody come down and bring my purse and my ID, blah, blah, blah. The van pulls up next to the car. The van pulls up. Four popos jump out of that. He talking about what's going on, long time no see. What? He said, what's going on, long time no see. I said, sir, you ain't never seen me a day in your life. Just like that. I said, you ain't never seen me a day in your life, but how are you doing? So they're saying, where were you? I seen you yesterday. I was like, sir, I've been in the house for 3 days straight. This is my first time being out in 3 days. So how did you see me yesterday? Oh, no, that's not the case. I seen you. You had on this, this, and this. I'm like, sir, that's not me. Then they had to go to the owners of the store and bring the owners out. So I have to wait for this man to walk across the way, get the owner, and the owner's telling them no, because I'm a frequent, you know, customer there. No, like, that's not her. What are y'all getting at? Mind you, folks, I'm a 400-pound black woman. Really? There's that many of us out here? Really? Really? If you see me yesterday and I robbed these people, why you didn't approach me yesterday? I'm 400 pounds. You are a trained police officer. So why you didn't catch me?
Right.
Obviously, I don't exercise, and obviously, I don't move that fast. So there's no reason why you couldn't catch me if I was on foot, if you see me do these crimes. So that's the thing that doesn't, that was the thing that really bothered me. Like, they stopped and they wouldn't listen to me. They just kept asking questions. They question this and this. And they're trying to confuse you. And it's me, big old little old me, and there's six different cops. Four that came out the van and two that came out the car. And they approach you and you expect me to just stand here and be calm about it?
Nah.
You know, and then on top of that, it's embarrassing because now everybody looking, what's going on over there? What's she doing?
What's she done?
Right, what's she done? Why is she red? I'm looking hot mess. When I tell you a hot mess, I'm looking hot mess. But, you know.
Just running to the store real quick and coming back home.
Right. And but I can just, and that was just a little bit of the situation. So I can just imagine the way my nerves was after that situation. The way my nerves was like, listen, I'm not trying to get beat up. I'm not trying to be Rodney King. I'm not trying to do any of that. Let me just tell them what I need to tell them. You know, I guess they was running my name or whatever the case may be. One officer disappeared into the car. Mind you, got this little lady standing on there. I'm like, I could take you, elbow. But I'm just saying, just imagine a young black man or a black man in general or a Latino in general is going through on a daily basis.
Right.
You can be, you know, you got a book bag on your back. You just coming home from work. It's 2:00 in the morning. You're trying to get home because you done did the graveyard shift, but it takes you 2 hours to get back to your house. And you're walking, you're tired, and now the police want to stop and frisk you because your pants is bulging. What? Really? And the fact that young folks wear their pants below their ass, there's nothing but air there to bulge. Nobody's wearing those
Right. Spanks.
What you doing? So, yeah, but that's your excuse. You just had a hunch that he had something on him. That's what they were saying. You know, but that's unconstitutional. That's unlawful searching. If you can't see something physically, if you wasn't told something physically, then you can't stop me. I can go on about my business. Now, I'm not saying that that this does not work, but at the same time, why y'all are so upset because they asked you to reform it? And all she did was appoint somebody to look over the whole program. That was her suggestion. Listen, we're going to hire somebody that's neutral to the party, and we're going to have them oversee this program. And you would have thought that she said stop it, or she told them that they did a horrible job, because Bloomberg and Ray Kelly went ham. They was on every news. They went ham. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What you think, Lady C?
I think they just didn't want to be seen. I mean, it is what it is. Y'all getting upset, you make yourself look even more guilty because you're upset.
Mm-hmm.
It draws more attention instead of saying, look, this is what happened. Okay, we're going to look into it and see what can we do to adjust it so that it can be more equal across the board, so it's not just because of your neighborhood. It's not just because of what you have on. We got to have a criteria to go with that. Not just because of what neighborhood you live in or you visit, or if you happen to be the wrong color in the wrong neighborhood, so they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may have friends in this risky neighborhood that you happen to meet, and just so happen you come that way, and they say, oh, we don't like the way he looks. We're going to follow him or her. We're going to search them. You know, what excuse you got? What reason? Are they buying through the neighborhood too many times? It could be lost. You know, give a. That would be even more than just say, oh, you didn't look right, or you rode through here three times. Okay, I rode through three times. What that mean?
So, let's, you know, join the conversation. If you have ever been a victim of being stopped by the police or stop and frisk, by all means, give us a call, 805-830-8320. We're going to continue this conversation on stop and frisk. Press 1. I'll let you on air. Shout out to the 817. I see you on the air right there. Shout out to Russ. He's in the chat room. He's sending me links. I can't click on right now, Russ. I can't click on your link because I got too many screens open and I don't need my computer crashing. Even though it's a new computer, don't need to crash. I don't want to give it no excuse to crash. Don't want to give it no excuse to crash.
It's working now. Leave it alone.
Right. It's working now. Don't want to give it no excuse. I got two browsers open. I got a notepad open. I got a tweet deck. I got a chat room. I'm checking out the phone line. I'm doing a little bit of everything right now. The last thing I need to do is for my computer to crash right now. Okay, so let's look at a little bit more in-depth the stop and frisk. At one point, stop and frisk was also implemented in your taxi. There was the taxi inspection program. That's what they call it, the taxi inspection program, quote unquote, trip. And it was designed to prevent the cab drivers from being robbed. The cabs who engaged in this program had a place card that allowed the NYPD to pull over the car and search the video. The NYPD officers would often frisk the passengers inside. But after a lawsuit was filed around last year, they changed it and they ceased and stopped the program, enforcing the program. It's crazy because I know that, you know, being a taxi driver or being any of those type of public services, you need your protection. You know, they are, you know, people jump out. You know, I had a situation where, you know, the cab driver tried to hold me down because I got out the car. My friend jumped out to go get the money, and I was just getting, he tried to lock me in the car, really. And I was like, wait, no, don't lock me in this car by myself with this crazy man. So I come out, and he comes over, and he start grabbing on me and everything. Oh, yeah, I got hood on him. I punched the shit out of him. He went down. That's when the person came out. He went down. He tried to come back up, but the person that came out was 6'6". So, yeah, he thought about that. And I ran across the street. I'm out. You know, out.
Yeah.
I was like, I was a youngin', but I do understand that, you know, that cab drivers do, you know, go through a lot there. But my thing is this: it's all right if you're going to stop the vehicle, if you want to search the vehicle, ask the person. You know, don't just go in there and start checking somebody, telling them to spread. And I mean, it's not like they're doing it, you know, politely, like just empty your pockets or something like that. No, they're throwing you up against the vehicle, spreading your legs and patting you down. And here you are, you know, looking like you done did something, or, you know, scare you out your ass, and you ain't do nothing but try to get home or try to get to where you're going. So that's just, it's just really crazy. That's the thing that's getting me, Mr. Kelly and Mr. Bloomberg. Because Bloomberg went on a rant, and he was just so disrespectful. Instead of calling her a federal judge or your honor or judge something, he was like, some woman, your safety and the safety of your kids is now in the hands of some woman who does not have the expertise to do it. Wait, what? Some woman? This lady's a federal judge. Who are you to call her some woman? It's so disrespectful. So disrespectful. I'm just saying, like, the way they all responded and it was attacking this judge, like, you know, it's crazy for you to be our mayor. For you to be a man, for you to be a mayor, for you to be part of politics, and if you don't agree, there's a better way. What kind of example are you setting? It makes me think that there's some underline to this stop and frisk situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something there that somebody's not telling us on what's going on. You know, we always talk about there's a quota. I know I've heard it, and, you know, I've said it that, you know, at a certain time of the month, it seemed like the police are strong in presence. They're strong in wanting to stop you more often, and they're
right.
trying to make a monthly quota that they're required to, you know, that they're required to. So it could be the stupidest thing. Like, I know the police done followed a group of kids from four blocks away. They turn on my block, and they did have an open container, but you seen them walk out the store with the open container. Why you wait for 4 to 5 blocks later
right.
to pull them over
them.
And try to issue them a ticket? So that, you know, and that's the stuff that, you know, and nobody is standing up to the, it's the police. You know, everybody got everybody's back. You know, it's like when you're in school. You know, the teacher tells the bad kid to stop doing this, but you around the bad kid, so you get in trouble too. But you ain't really
right.
do nothing. You know, and the kid, the everybody has to suffer because of the bad kid. And that's basically how it is with the NYPD as well. It's like, you know, you around them, but that has nothing to do with you. And that's why I don't go outside. I don't go outside, folks. I'm telling y'all, I'm in the house. If I don't have a point B to go to, I very rarely go outside. There's not a lot of people out there where I can just have a good time with. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to be put in that situation. I don't want to be stopped. I don't want to be frisked. I don't want to be looked at. I don't want to be asked my name, number. I don't want any. I don't even want to talk to y'all. I don't want to talk to you unless you're cute. Then I can say, hey, how you doing? that's how I do it.
I can understand because, see, basically half of my neighbors don't even know I'm here. Half the
time. Right. They don't know you're home, you know, unless they heard my TV playing or something like that. But, no, I don't want to, I don't want to put myself in that situation, but it makes it difficult. But, however, my concern is this. You know, I was coming out the nail salon the other day, and the cops pulled over a car for whatever reason. They asked for the, and as they're approaching the man, the guy, young guy, he was walking by. He said, they ain't got nothing better to do. And he said to the car driver, you know, they just bored. That's what he said to him. He said, they just bored. He said that to the car driver, and the police officer stopped him. He's like, listen, that's against the law. You can't stop and frisk me and stuff like that. And, you know, he was trying to debate that, you know, to the cop. And the cop was like, well, go on. Don't say nothing. Go on. Buy a bit. And hold up. Is it a First Amendment freedom of speech?
Mm-hmm.
So why can't
well,
he
could
say,
say.
And he didn't say nothing directly to the cop. So my thing is, you would have wasted your time, taxpayer time, if you would have pursued it any longer. Oh, I'll arrest you. And like, he's threatening the guy as the guy walking off, I'll arrest you. For what? Because he's voiced his opinion? He didn't threaten nobody. He didn't curse at nobody. He just said they bored and walked on. So I'm like, you would have wasted people's time. You would have wasted taxpayers' money to try to process this. And you have no reason to process. You had no reason to do anything. It's not against the law to state your opinion, right? That's a part of freedom of speech.
It is a part of freedom of speech.
You may not, but you know, you may not want to, you know, admit it, or you may feel like, you know, but that's my right. I have a right to say how I feel. If I'm not breaking any laws, why should you be concerned? You should just keep on going. And the partner rolled over and grabbed him by his arm. You know, the partner, she rolled over and grabbed him. I'm like, come on. I'm like, I'm out. Find a cab. I got to go. I don't want to be a witness to nothing. I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing. I want to go. Let this man go. And everybody sitting up there looking at this man like he did something wrong, but he didn't do anything wrong. But you ready to jump on him because he's stating the obvious? Crazy situation. Just crazy stuff in NYPD in New York City. But how is it in your area with the police and the stop and frisk laws? Everybody has their own version of the policy, I'm sure. Give us a call, 805-830-8320. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
I'm doing this for all my ladies. I know you're thinking, yo, it sounds like a lullaby, right? But this is for you. Get into it. It's true.
I got your legs spread all over. over the bed, hands clenched in the sheets, hair wild as hell. I know the only thing on your mind is sex and me, girl. I can feel your temperature rising. You should feel my nature too. Come on, it's gonna be a bumpy
girl,
ride. Do what we came to do.
Cause you're inside my mind, and I love the way you feel.
and R&B for your soul.
Only on Phone Fantasy Radio.
I forgot about those little things at the end. Okay. Welcome back to the Honey Suite. I'm your hostess, La Crush Hearts. I also have my good friend, Lady C, representing Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we have Russ Owen across the pond in England in the chat room with us. And we are talking about politics in general. We talked about the New York Department stop and frisk policy as being deemed unconstitutional, unlawful searching, and basically a federal judge said, listen, we need to reform this, and you know, we need to implement some new changes in this. So we talked about that a little bit. You know, you can still call in, share your stories, share your thoughts about it. 805-830-8320, press that one. So there's something else I want to look into. Black Reporter came up with this topic, and he's not here to represent the topic, but I want to take this topic and I want to run with it left field. Okay, so his question was, do you think old politicians should step down and make way for younger politicians, a new generation of politics of sorts? Now, excuse me. I looked at some things. I was just looking up some things. Now, you know, let's look at Congress for a moment. Congress has two sides. You have the state representative and you have the senator. To be a state representative, the requirements, you know, plus whatever the Constitution, but most requirements is you must be 25 years of age at the time of the election. You must reside in a state that you want to represent. You must be a citizen for 7 years, and you must win the election. Those are your top priorities, requirements for the state representative. Now, to be a senator, you must be 30 years or older at the time of election. You must also win the election, and you also must reside in that state you're running for, and you must be a citizen for 9 years. Now, the state representative is a two-year term, I believe, and the senator is a six-year term, I believe. That's pretty young, but the requirements right there is pretty young, 25 and 30. However, that's not what you see when you look at the Congress and the, you know, when you look at Congress, everybody is way over 25 and 30, no? Lady C?
Yeah, they are.
Right, they're pushing 50, 60, 70. Yeah,
yeah,
like they in their 60s, they in it. And so, you know, in a way, I'm like, I'm glad that they're still in office, because you look around at the 25 and the 30-year-olds, really? I don't know how we're going to run with those. That is going to be, that's questionable. That's questionable.
Very questionable, and I mean, like you say, you look at their age and you look at what they're doing. I mean, it's good to have the young ones can do it, but are they ready for it? Are young people coming up looking to be politicians?
But listen to this. There also is a rise on the number of successful young adults as well. You know, there is a rise out there, you know, successful. I mean, you know, they're millionaires. They're coming out with these technical companies, social networking, technology. So I'm thinking maybe there is, maybe they can do it if given the opportunity, if they actually was going to pursue that. But there's more to the situation than just those requirements as far as age and stuff like that is concerned. Yes, we do know this. But what are your thoughts? Call us, let us know, press one, join the conversation. Shout out to somebody unknown. They just called in, they're unknown. 805-830-8320, press one. What if our politicians were just maybe 20 years younger than what they represent now? let's just say the average politician is 65. What if he was 20 years younger? And in this day and age, meaning this day and age, we're just hypothetically speaking, folks, you know, just throwing it out there. just throwing it out there. You're 65. That's what I said, right? 65. You know, we took 25. We took 20 years off. Now you're 45. Yeah, so you're just basically 12 years younger than, I mean, 12 years older than me. Well, no, I'm lying. 15 years older than me. Well, no, I'm lying. 13 years older than me. So, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel uncomfortable. It would be exciting. It would be, you know, cool, but will they still have the same views as now? Will there still be order? Like, that was the whole thing. The children are our future, you know, Generation X and Generation X. Like, we're up in age now. You know, the 90s kids, the 80s kids, I mean, are up in age now. We're getting there. So, you know, what's that going to say for politics in the future? You know, we only got, what, 10 years? You know, we only got 10 years to go. You know, 2020 is coming, you know, 2015, 16, that's coming. So, you know, now with the legalization of marijuana in 3 states, you know, that's new politics right there. That's new policies right there. Even though everybody that's on the board of, on Congress probably smoked a joint in the 60s.
They didn't inhale.
Like that.
I was just trying it out. You know, my friend said it was okay, so, you know, I was just trying it out.
You just trying it out.
I didn't inhale it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, puff, puff, pass. I puffed, and I didn't pass it. I didn't puff, cut.
So, but, yeah, that, like, that's the, you know, just thinking about that, like, you know, the way policies are going now, the way you got the Republicans and you got the Democrats going at each other, you know, the big thing now is Obamacare, you know, and I was watching CNN, I believe, and there's a show on there, I forget his name, Martin, this is a time where I need Black Reporter to call in. Because he knows who I'm talking about. I forget this man's name. He wears glasses. He has his own show. And it's like a Meet the Press. He always have a politician up there or something. And he just goes straight out. He just asks the question. And I just happened to be clicking through the TV. And I came across this guy. His name is Martin something. I can't remember his last name. His name is Martin something. I think he was on either NBC or CNN or something like that. One of those news channels. And he has a politician up there, and they were talking about the Republican Party going against this Obamacare. And, you know, Obama was saying, listen, y'all opposing it, but y'all don't have no plan to put in place. There's no, you know, there's nothing else y'all want to, you know, y'all opposing it, but y'all don't have all y'all ducks in a row. You know, how are you going to say, no, don't have this, no, don't do this, but yet you don't have nothing else to bring to the table? Basically, that's what Obama was saying to the politicians. Like, y'all need to stop just because y'all, you know, and the politician basically was saying it's big business. He said these people are representing the big companies out there. No, it wasn't Larry King, Russ. No, his name started with Martin, and I can't get the last name right now, but And the guy was saying, you know, it's big business over there. They're not representing the people. They're representing the companies.
Right.
And, you know, nowadays, big business, when it comes to politics, have the same word of, well, they claim, this is what they claim, that big business have the same leverage as the people do.
Right.
And how is that even possible? How is this business voice as the same as loud as mine? Wait, what?
Money.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right. What? And I don't have the money to fight off these big businesses, even if we have it all together. We don't have the funds to fight off these big businesses. So basically,
have you ever noticed, like you say that, when they have these big lawsuits and all these people come in, then they're like, oh, well, it's too many people. We can't pay y'all nothing because it's too many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's quashed. Oh, well, it was a lawsuit, but it was so many people, there was no way we could pay that many damages.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So what? How is that possible? How do you say, okay, yeah, we're going to sue them? So sign up. And when people start really signing up and have a legitimate something to claim, and mm-hmm. when it gets too many, they say, oops, we can't do it. There's no way we can pay all y'all here, unless you want a nickel each. But the money they made off of these people was more than a nickel each.
That's crazy.
You know. But yeah, big businesses can say, well, we're going to look and see what they feel about it. You know.
Right. And how is your voice the same? My thing is, how is your voice the same pitch as mine? But in the Constitution, it says we are the people.
Right.
So, you know, what's that about? You know, but like I said, now in technology and science and all these different areas, young people are on the rise, the younger the age. You know, you got people, you got billionaires out there, that are, you know, 20 years old, 21 years old.
Right.
25, 28, you know. So now what if they want to jump in a ring? They have the means to do it. You know, they fit the requirement. They have age, they are resident, they got the money as well. But, you know, will they appeal to the masses? You know, we're there.
Well, the sad part is they've done so when they were young, it didn't matter. And then they started to realize that it does matter, the tattoos, the goals, the hair, and all of this, and
mm-hmm.
what you do, we're just having fun. And then they want to be a politician, and then stuff started coming out the woodwork. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember her when we used to have swinger parties. She's still mm-hmm. doing it, but that was her private life.
Mm-hmm.
She has.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a police record, or he doesn't have a police record, you know, what goes on behind closed doors should still be their business.
But you know that's not the case. Somebody's playing dirty.
I know.
You know that's not the case. Regardless of his politics or not, you know, even if it's school election, that was never the
right.
case. You know, that was always
no.
the,
she was,
you know.
She was under the bleachers with half the football
right,
team.
Right, you know.
She
the,
can't
it's
be
gonna
nothing.
Come out. Right. It's going
to
come out.
All it needs is one person to hear it, and they're going to put that, oh, well, she can't be class president, or she can't be prom queen because we saw her underwear. She wore
mm-hmm.
her skirt too short, and, you know, he was riding the bike, and it was late, and he stayed out, and he was in the store, then the store got robbed. Okay, was it him?
Was right.
the proof that it was him, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. All it takes is plant a seed, and you got a big oak tree. That's all it got. Is plant the seed of doubt, you know.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, right? Interesting stuff.
Mm. So imagine if you could just say, I don't like the way you look, I'm going to search you. It's tough.
That's crazy. Mm. So, folks, let me tell y'all this. Let me inform y'all that we are on Twitter and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/WRPF Radio. We're on Twitter at Faux Fan Radio as well. I'm going to take a quick break and come right back, and we're going to continue this conversation about politics in the U.S. of A.
I'm sitting here. I've been thinking about everything that's been said. I realize what's at stake. From the moment I met you, I just ain't been the same. I need you here in my life. No, that's a hard thing to find. Girl, I'm a good man, and you're a good woman. There's so much more I wanna discover, baby. If it's love, it lasts a lifetime. Deep in my heart,
and R&B for your soul.
Only on Phone Fantasy Radio.
Welcome back. I'm your hostess, LaCrush Hart, and this is the Honey Suite. I have my friend Lady C, as always, holding down with me, representing Louisiana. We also have Russ over across the pond in England. And, yes, Russ, I was talking about the British guy who interviewed Michael Jackson, the British reporter Martin Basher. That's who I was talking about earlier.
Oh, okay.
So,
Russ. Yeah.
I like this guy. This guy, like I say, he gets right to the point. He don't hold his tongue. I mean, he's respectful about it, but at the same time, he directly asks you, listen, this is what I need to know. You know, this is what we need to look into.
He don't sugarcoat.
Right, he don't sugarcoat it. I mean, like I said, he's respectful about it, but he wants to know. He wants to know what in the world, what's going on. Tell me straight up. Don't beat around the bush. And I guess that approach has caused a lot of people to step back. You know, it had a lot of people back off, and they can't run and hide and come up with some pretty answer. You know, they have to just tell you the first thing that comes, or they'll look stupid. You know, they'll look like they don't know what they're talking about. You know, so. But that's all good. So I want to let everybody know that my two shows on Monday and Tuesday, the Music Inclined and the Honey Suite, are going to be 90-minute shows now. So we're going to go from 9 to 10:30. And, you know, every now and then, I guess we'll have a show that goes the full 2 hours. But we're going to, you know, go from 9 to 10:30 now, because it really just be me hosting the shows, and we'll leave that half an hour open for when we have people that want to, you know, when a conversation is good and depth and we got everybody talking. I know how we do, you know, so we don't have to do overtime and people won't miss the end of the show. So now I'm no longer doing 120 minutes. The show will be 90 minutes. I had a couple of text messages and phone calls and emails yesterday when I ended the show. Like, what happened? And, I forgot to tell the people that's what I'm doing. It's no longer 9 to 11. Excuse me. It's going to be from 9 to 10:30 Eastern, 8 to 9:30 Central Standard Time. So, you know, that's a half an hour difference, but that half an hour is big, isn't it? Big half an hour right there. So right now we're at 15-minute mark. It's 10:15 right here on the East Coast, 9:15 on Central, and I believe it's like 8:15, I think. 7:15 Pacific now? I don't know. Look, I don't know about the West Coast. Even though I got a West Coast number. 805-830-8320 calling number. It's West Coast bound, but I don't know about y'all. Call in about y'all. I have a new segment I'm working on. I would love to start in the new year, basically a book club segment. I wasn't going to tell nobody this, but I'm telling y'all because I think I do want to start it. I love reading urban romance fantasy books, and I'm going to have a few authors on the show next month. We have an author, a music engineer coming into the show. November, I have a brand new author who's a plus size, who wrote a book. I also have a financial expert coming in on December. So we got a lot of stuff lined up for y'all in the Honey Suite, Musically Inclined. And once again, next week tomorrow's Swinger State of Mind radio show with Trinity Blake, 60 minutes, but we will start our full show in October. So we got a lot of stuff planned for y'all. I'm here. I'm committed. I'm dedicated to doing this for Phone Fantasy Radio. I got me a brand new computer. I have no excuses now. I got a brand new computer. I have no excuses unless I just get tired. But so far, so good. You know, so far, so good. I haven't missed a show. I've tried to be here on time. So far, so good. I'm training my body. I'm training my schedule Monday to Wednesday. I'm busy. If you want to see me, holler at me on a Thursday. You know, that's how I'm doing it. you know, holler at me on a Thursday. Thursday to Sunday, I'm all yours. Monday to, well, actually, Thursday to Saturday, I'm all yours. Sunday afternoon to Wednesday night, 11 o'clock p.m., I'm Phone Fantasy Radio. That's how I'm work. That's how I'm rolling, folks. I'm committed. I'm dedicated. I want to develop this. I want to bring us back to where we was. I want to actually go beyond where we were. You know, we've done good for this year, but let's do better. You know, definitely tune into the shows. If you have a show topic suggestion or idea, a game show, by all means, let us know. Give us a call or send us an email at phonefantasyradio@gmail.com. You know, if you, I'm very open, very flexible when it comes to that. If you want to be a guest, if you want to submit your music, if you want to do any of those sorts, that is the email, contact email to go to is phonefantasyradio@gmail.com. Next week on Musically Inclined is going to be my indie show where I'm going to present some independent artists. So it's going to be all independent music next week. Spoken word, hip-hop, R&B, smooth jazz, all that. next week on the Honey Suite, I don't know what we're talking about. I'm actually just stuck. I don't know what the topic should be about. Maybe some weird news, maybe some true crime. I don't know. Still open to some ideas. So if you have any ideas about that, by all means, let me know, folks. Let me know. I like talking about stuff and getting into, you know, conversations with people about different things. And I can't wait to start this book club. This will give me an excuse to actually read. You know, this will give me an excuse to actually read. I mean, I do read, but I'm just saying I have about 5 or 6 books on my dresser that I've been dying to get to, but I just haven't done it. Just haven't done it. I make every excuse in the world, right? Haven't done it. Make every excuse in the world.
You buy them. You want to read them, but you just—they
just sit there. They just sit there.
It's just like I have all 3 volumes of 50 Shades of Grey. I have all 3 volumes. I think I've read 2 pages.
Right.
And that's supposed to be a good book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, it happens. Well, yeah, when you have a book and you have a book club, so you got to read to be able to conversate about the book.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Right. So, Lady C, you're gonna have to join my online group. I'm gonna make a neutral group. I'm not gonna base it on Facebook. You know, because there's some people that aren't on Facebook, but I want to make a mutual group. More information will come up on phonefantasyradio.com. So, and, you know, I'll talk about it more. And I'm going to try to put together a list of authors, you know, maybe even feature their book and give some copies. Yeah, you know, I want to raffle off some copies and things like that. I'm also trying to put together fantasy game night.
Ooh.
Fantasy game night will be, I don't know yet, maybe next year, I don't know yet, maybe this year, I don't know. Holiday season is coming, so fantasy game night, we're going to have an actual family game type situation here, online, live broadcasting, you know, have some good old fun, and give away prizes.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, like I want to do the family feud, fantasy feud. I have that situation set up. I just have to find a contestant. So that's my concern. If you want to be part of fantasy feud, which is just like family feud, then, you know, hit us up on email. Look, I'm down to the last few minutes to the show. I got about 7 minutes left before we get to 6 minutes left till we get to the top of the hour. I want to thank Lady C, Russ, for joining in and tuning in and conversing with me and keeping me company. Shout out to the 815 and the 413s that both showed up and listened to the show, and those that I don't see and those that listen to us later, thank you so much for tuning in. Be back tomorrow. 9 p.m. with Trinity Blake as my co-host for SSOM All the Way Live, the return of Swinging State of Mind radio show. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Look us up, phonefantasyradio.com is the website. Lady C, you have any final words?
Oh, always enjoy, as usual. Bye, Russ.
Oh, right, it's 3:15 in London. Ooh, a.m. Thank you, Russ, for staying up with us.
Thank you. Dream about us when you go to sleep.
Yeah, sweet dreams, Russ, sweet dreams. He's sending us hearts. He's sending us hearts in the chat room. Hearts back to you, Russ. Hearts back to you. Yeah, L-O-V-E, Russ. L-O-V-E. So that's it. That's the end of the show. I'll see y'all tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central, 2 a.m. London time. We'll be here, phonefantasyradio.com. Later, everybody.
Bye. Bye.